Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. Come on in and find a seat. It's great to see you here. Those of you signed up for Bible time, don't forget our third session of that is this evening at 6 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you at that. Don't forget we have the light party coming up on Thursday this week. And if you were thinking about coming, or your children are thinking about coming, but you haven't told us yet, would be really good if you were able to do so. We have our quiz coming up soon too, on the 17th of November. Again, if you're thinking about getting a team together, then now would be the time to do that. You can sign up via the website, and the quiz is followed by a four-week course called Exploring Christianity for anyone who's come along and picked up on something that they want to pursue further. Next Sunday, there'll be a church business meeting after the service, and in this week's e-bulletin, you'll get access to the relevant papers for that. Just a little bit of advance notice. So Remembrance Sunday, which is not next Sunday but the following one, we'll have our service at 9:30 in the morning as opposed to 10. There won't be any children's groups at that, and if you want to come along to that, there will be then time for you to get to the Remembrance service in the Market Square afterwards. So that's not next Sunday, but the Sunday afterwards is at 9:30 instead of 10 o'clock. And the other thing to mention to you, thank you so much for praying for me. Those of you who take my diary and pray through it, I'm incredibly grateful for that. I couldn't do the half of what I do without you doing so. So next month's one is this colour. I don't know what you call this colour, but it's at the back there. So if you want to take the one for November, again, I'd be very grateful for your prayers. Let's stand up together, ready to worship God, shall we? Here's Jesus saying very bluntly and very simply why he came. He says, I have come that they, you, might have life and have it to the full. Let's sing together, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's remain standing as we pray together. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is indeed exalted above all things. Today, as we come to worship you in his name, we pray for a generous measure of your Spirit. We pray that we might taste and touch and know your presence here in this familiar place. Before you, Father, we confess those things we should not have done, and the good things we should have done but neglected. Father, will you cleanse and heal and restore and renew, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do please sit down. Now, there's lots of boxes up here, but there is no story box to be seen. And there's no science box to be seen. There is a box, but it's not up here. Come here and I'll tell you how to find it. If anyone wants to come, because I'm going to need you to help me find it. Brilliant, how you come. Anybody else going to come and help me? Brilliant, okay. You see, there is a box, but it's not up here. I promise you there is one in the church, all right, somewhere. Yeah? Do you trust me?
Yeah.
You do? Good. Excellent. Now, there is a box, and I'm going to tell you how to find it. All right? So you need to all stand up and need to obey these instructions clearly. And you've got about 10 seconds to find it. And if you don't, we'll try something else, all right? So face that way. Proceed north-northwest. Then turn east. You're doing brilliantly, guys. After approximately 2 meters, turn north again. You haven't moved. Locate and retrieve the box. Oh, dear me. I'm going to try that one again. Proceed north-northwest. Oh, someone's moving. Turn east.
No
one. Oh, it's not working. Okay, I'll try a different way. Okay. So, take about 20 paces in front of you. Take about another 20. Stop! Turn right. 10 paces forwards. Stop. Turn left. Can you see it yet? Oh, dear. Come back here. Come back here. We'll try something else. Try back. Come back here. We will find this box. We promise you we'll find it. So giving you directions was no good. And shouting them from here was no good. Do you want to find this thing? Yeah? Right. Come with me then. Come with me. Come on. Quick, quick. Come with me. Pat's got it. Hey, look. Brilliant. Let's take it back up the front. We'll find out what's inside it. Come on. Oh, keeping up with you, Jude. Keeping up with you. Oh, brilliant. Okay. Now, before I open it, which one of those was easiest? What was the easiest way to find it?
The yards.
Do you think? What do you think the easiest way to find it was, Stevie? Well, it didn't work with either of those, did it? What do you think is the easiest? What actually helped you find this? Yeah, that was actually the easiest of all, wasn't it? Yeah? Because you didn't get anywhere with the other two. Let's see what's inside this. It's a nice padded box. And inside, there's a teeny weeny bit of paper, but it's got some really important words on it. It says, can anybody read that? I am with you. Always. So when Jesus tells us to follow him, he doesn't shout from a distance, say, this is what you ought to do. He doesn't give us a whole load of instructions that we can't make any sense of. He says, look, I'll tell you what, I'll go with you, and then you'll find the way. Now, can you go back and sit down? Because I want to show you something on a screen in a minute. For the past couple of weeks, we've been asking all the grown-ups in the church to show us pictures of where God takes them to during the week. To show us pictures of where they meet the people, perhaps, who don't come to church. And we're going to have a look at those in a minute. We're going to play some music. It's called All My Days. If we can get that started, that would be lovely. And we're going to watch the pictures. Thank you. So these are all different places that we're to be found during the week.
My days, I will sing the song of gladness. Give my praise to the fountain of delights. For in my helplessness, you heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down on my life. I will trust in the cross of my Redeemer. I will sing of the blood that never fails, of sins forgiven, of conscience cleansed, of death defeated, and life without end. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life, star of the morning, glorious in holiness. You're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign. Yes, I long to be where the praises never end. Yearn to dwell where the glory never fades, where countless worshippers will share one song, and cries of worthy will honor the Lamb. 'Cause you're the beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the life.
So all those places, what was it my little message said? I am with you always, in all those places. So wherever you go this week, there's no place you can go where God doesn't go with you. We're going to stand up and sing together with our wonderful band here. We're going to sing My Jesus, My Saviour. Let's stand up, ready to sing.
Praise to the King. please sit down.
Now, if you've got children with you, haven't been to the groups before, then follow the flow and someone will soon show you where they need to be. Within the next week or so, hopefully we'll have a display of all those pictures you've just seen on the screen, and they'll be at the back there somewhere. It's just good to know that wherever you are in the coming week, whatever you face, God goes with you. That is his promise. That's his undertaking to you. And to see that patchwork of all the different places that we are in the week is maybe a good reminder of that. He promises us, he assures us that he goes with us. Let's stand as we sing an old, lovely hymn together, Blessed Assurance. Father, for your many gifts, the ones we see and the ones that pass us by, for your unending grace and love towards us, we thank you. And we ask that you would accept these gifts and bless them in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do please sit down as Pam comes to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for all the gifts you have given us, family, friends, food, a permanent shelter. When on this earth you did not have this, so can empathize with those in this world who are in the same position. Father, your word has taught us to help all of these people. Father, the world which you made, and is so beautiful, is in an awful state due to human activity. We hear in the news about trafficking of people who are desperate for a better life by evil people who are only interested in money. In the last week, 39 people have died in a lorry which had no air. We hear about stabbings, drug trafficking, and among many of our young people. Father, this is not what you want. Give us the courage and strength to speak out against this and help in any way you lead us to. Be with us in this church family to work with you to develop our premises in the way which you wish them to be. Be with Richard, the deacons, and the development team, guiding them, giving them the strength they will need. Be with all people who are ill, going through treatment, or awaiting results of test. Give them your peace. Finally, Father, give us the strength, values, and the will to live in the way you have taught us, to bring your message to our own small part of the world. Amen.
Thank you, Pam. We dare to pray because we believe he has the capacity to answer. We believe he is sovereign and king and can hear all our prayers. Let's stand as we sing together before the throne of God above.
This morning is taken from Luke chapter 9, reading from verses 57 to 62. The cost of following Jesus. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. So Luke's been doing his job. His gospel's been doing what it says on the tin, where he said he'd put together an orderly account of the things that Jesus did. And gradually, that orderly account is coming into focus. It's like moving the focus ring on a camera, and gradually the picture is becoming sharper. We can see the power and the glory. We saw that particularly last week in the story of the Transfiguration. We can see that Jesus is loved by some people and hated and feared by others. By this stage, by this part of the gospel, he's picking up followers as he goes, like those little burrs. You know, if you're walking in the countryside, or sweethearts, we used to call them, and you get stuck to your clothes. He seems to be picking up followers wherever he goes, but there are followers and followers. You know, as Jesus pushes through the crowd in that passage that Rita's just read to us, there are all kinds of people around about him. There are some who would love to be disciples, but they're not quite there yet. There are some who are not really sure. They're torn between what they've got already and what he might give to them. And there are others who really want to follow him, but they just can't quite give it their all. All those kinds of people are around him. The thing is, though, all those kinds of people are in church every Sunday, which means that all those kind of people are here right now. The ones who really want to follow him, the ones who are still weighing it up, the ones who would but. They're all here today, and there's different messages for all of them. Let's think about that enthusiastic disciple. If you've got the passage open in front of you, have a look at it as he comes kind of bounding into the story. Verse 57, he's straight in there. He says, I will follow you. He doesn't have to be asked. He actually volunteers. He says, I will follow you. Now, we've no idea why he wants to do that. Maybe he likes what he's seen and heard already. Whatever it is that's going on, he just can't wait to be a disciple. He's the only one in the whole story who volunteers. But interestingly, Jesus doesn't take that at face value. Even though this guy comes bounding out of the crowd and says, I'll follow you, he challenges it. He says, really? Will you really do that? He warns him that to commit to him is to commit to a life where Jesus himself is the only certainty. And he says this peculiar thing, verse 58, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes and birds, in the language of the day, were what would be used to talk about something being ten a penny, you know, something being common as. He says, look, even those creatures have more certainty than you will have if you follow me. Even those creatures have more comfort than you will have if you follow me. You know, Colossians tells us this wonderful description in Colossians of Jesus being there at the moment of creation. And it talks about him being intimately involved with it. It says that in him and through him and for him, the whole of creation was made. That means that Jesus was there when God gave the last flick of the brush to set the flight feathers just so. So that a bird could take to the air just as easily as you or I step off the curb. It means that Jesus was there when God gave the first fox the final plump of its splendid brush before sending it off, unleashed, to scurry across the face of the earth and to set the night on edge with its cry. How ironic, then, that he who was there to see both of those things created says, look, if you follow me, a bit like me, you will have less security than those things do. He says, if you follow me, even though I was there when they were made, he says, if you follow me, those things will have an easier life than you will. Look, sometimes, friends, we forget that if we are disciples, if we take that name on our shoulders, we follow in the footsteps of a broken Messiah. Born in a shed, fled to safety as a babe in arms, lived in an occupied country, out of step with his family, hounded by those who claimed to love God, betrayed by one of his closest friends, beaten by those who thought they had every right to do so, crucified by people who wanted to shut him up, and entombed in the darkness before he could rise in glory. This is the Jesus that we sign up to follow. A Jesus with wounded hands and feet and stripes on his back and not even a tomb to his name. This is my Jesus, my Saviour. And if you have signed up to follow him, then he is the only certainty in your life. And all the rest is TBC, to be confirmed, as and when befits him to do so. So you've got some who are enthusiastic disciples. Then you've got other people who are kind of interested, but... You know, the next one that we meet in this story is really interested, but he can't quite decide whether to commit. Now, we have to give him some credit. You know, he is there. He is there in the crowd, tagging along with Jesus. He's already left the sidelines where hundreds of people would gather to watch Jesus work his miracles. He's left the sidelines and he's kind of walking along the road next to him. He's prepared to be identified as someone who thinks that Jesus deserves his attention. But you know, attention and loyalty are two different things. So he comes up when Jesus calls him and asks him outright. You know, Jesus picks him out from the crowd, unlike the previous one who offered. Jesus speaks to him. Verse 59, he said to this other chap, "You follow me." And back comes the answer. He replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." It sounds perfectly reasonable, doesn't it? After all, death in the family is a serious business. You'd always expect someone to treat that as a top priority. But you know, this is where understanding some of the context, the cultural context, helps. Listen, if this guy's father had died, he'd have been incarcerated in a house. There's no way he would have been out and walking about. So it's not that he's just lost his dad and then he's gone out into the street and then he's tagging along with Jesus. No. It hasn't even happened yet. In fact, even if his father were ill, never mind dead, even if his father were ill, he wouldn't be out and about and following round after somebody like Jesus. So what he's actually saying is, listen, let me see my father through to the end of his days, however long that might be, and then I will come with you. Could have been months, it could have been years. This is the person who follows Jesus enough to come to church. Maybe even follows him enough to come every week. But always has the idea of commitment or baptism or tithing or sacrificial living as being the next thing on their list. And too often, I'm afraid, their commitment to Jesus ends up dying the death of 1,000 delays. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And when all those days are used up, someone like me pronounces the words over them in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life for all who truly believe in him, which is true, but might not be true of that person. I don't know about you, but I've had it with the rain. Are you sick of rain yet? You know, that whole soft, refreshing rain thing, fine, but I'm absolutely sick of it, except for Friday morning. Friday morning, those of you who've been praying through the diary will know that I spent the morning in a suicide prevention workshop. Not the easiest Friday morning I've had. Sad stories and sad realities, but some hope too and some help. Do you know what? I walked out of that morning and I felt the rain on my face, and it felt so good. Because you know what? Any day that you can feel the rain on your face is a day when it's not too late to say yes to God. Any day when you can feel the rain on your face is a day when you can stop putting God off till tomorrow and you can deal with him and deal with it today. If you think that tomorrow would be the best day to take Jesus seriously, then you're wrong. Because as we all know, tomorrow never comes. And life is short. And life is precious. And I don't know how many more opportunities this man had. Can you believe that he was walking that close to Jesus and was given the opportunity, asked to follow him, not even, you know, thought of it for himself, invited by the Son of God to follow him. And he says, oh, you know, I'll get round to it. Well, actually, you can believe it because it happens every day. And it happens in groups of people like this one where people are tagging along with Jesus but will not commit to him. You see, you've got that person who's really, really enthusiastic and Jesus wants him to make sure he understands it. You've got a person who's a little bit uncertain. And then you've got the one who's really, really divided. You know, this person's still got to make up their mind, really. They don't wait to be asked. They volunteer their loyalty, but they can't quite make it their top priority. After he's dealt with the bloke we've just talked about, look at verse 61. Still another one said, I will follow you. So he's, you know, offering to do it. Actually, I haven't read that properly. I will follow you, Lord. Anyone's got it open on their knee. But. I will follow you, Lord. But. Let me go and say goodbye to my family. Again, that sounds perfectly reasonable, but listen, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, going home, quickly poking their head round the door, getting a grab bag and saying I'm off to follow Jesus. See ya. You know, they would have had to go around absolutely everybody in the family and see all of them. And they would have had various people trying to dissuade them. And they would have had to take their time. It wouldn't have been a quick thing. You know, when I was in Jordan a month or so ago, the guy who spent most of the time driving us around had married into a Bedouin family. And that's a big deal. You know, the whole ceremony that goes with it is a big deal. It lasts for a month. There's a particular dish in Jordan called lamb mansaf. It's beautiful, but it's incredibly hefty. You know, it's kind of lamb cooked in yogurt. And it's gorgeous. Anyway, I might make you hungry if I say. But anyway, the tradition is, if you get married, everybody in the village has to feed you one of these things. He ate 62 of them in a month. It was a wonder he could still move. It wasn't a quick thing to say goodbye to people. It wasn't a quick thing to say, well, I'm moving out of the village now because I'm getting married and I'm moving on. This person who says to Jesus, look, let me just go and sort of deal with my family, it wasn't going to be a quick thing. If he had departed at that point to say goodbye to his family, the chances are that Jesus might well never have seen him again, this side of Jerusalem or the cross. The thing he wanted to do was legitimate and laudable, really. But if we sign up to Jesus, then we sign up to him as sovereign and Lord and master and king. And interestingly, he demonstrates himself in the Gospels what that means. Jesus himself demonstrates what it means to be living according to someone else's instructions over your life. And you see it cropping up again and again in all the Gospels, but very clearly in Luke. We're constantly saying again and again, I'm doing this because God told me to. I'm not doing this because God told me not to. I'm not doing it now because it's not God's time. All the way through, he's showing what it's like, in a sense, to live your life under somebody else's sovereign leadership. So what does he say when he gets baptized? It's the right time to do it because God has told me to. What does he say with the miracles of healing? He says, don't blab about it right now because it's not God's time to do so. What does he say when people want to crown him king and they crown around him? He says, shh, no, not now. It's not God's time. His time will come. And in that, we have to follow him. In that, we have to follow him, abiding by God's instructions for our lives. What does he say to this man? Look, no one who puts a hand, verse 62, to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Into that disciple with his boundless enthusiasm, he says, that's great, but be sure what you're signing up to. To Ron, who says, well, could I just do it tomorrow? He says, no, you can't. To the one who says, well, I'll do it, but I'm not sure about doing it wholeheartedly, he says, look, it's wholeheartedly or it's not at all. And he says that to all of us this morning. We either sign up utterly and completely and wholeheartedly and recklessly to follow him, or he's nothing more than a passing interest to him. You know, it's been a really interesting week this week. If I'd taken the pictures, they'd have been in all kinds of places. Lots of time in and out of the council buildings this week for various meetings. An interesting news quiz on the radio on Thursday with a stand-up comedian. Been all sorts of different places this week, and I love it because it puts me in touch with people who are not on this list. I love it because it puts me in touch with people who at the moment have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's great. But it's great also because it reminds me how different it is when we march to Jesus' tune. Every time you spend time with someone who's got no space for Jesus, it reminds you how precious he is to you. It reminds you that you are constantly listening out for his voice, constantly trying to find out where he is going so that you can follow along beside him. And that's what makes you different. You know, years ago, I watched this incredible performance on television by a deaf ballerina. And she was dancing these solo pieces and doing it all through feeling the notes of the piano through the floorboards. Isn't that incredible? She was doing these incredibly elegant, precise manoeuvres by being so finely attuned that she could feel the notes of the piano coming up through the floorboards. Even so, friends, we need to be attuned to Jesus. If we are amongst those who have signed up to follow him, then we need to be listening out for him and following him with all our hearts. If that's what you've done, then do it with all your hearts. And if you're intending to do it tomorrow, then tomorrow's too late. And you need to do it today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for every faithful disciple who has said to Jesus, "I will follow you," and meant it. Thank you, Father, for those sitting around us now who have done just that and who are demonstrating right now lives of faith and courage. And for those who stand on the brink, knowing the claims of Jesus but hardly daring to embrace them, we pray for courage. Lord, let us be those who listen out for Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen. Let's stand up as we sing together, "How Firm a Foundation."
Yes. Yeah.
And now we ask the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.